So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome. It's another week, and before we get started, Les, I want to wish a very, very happy birthday to two of my good friends, Ron and Don Harris.
Ron and Don Harris.
Yes.
Two of your very tight, close. How old are Ron and Don today?
Okay, you got me on that one. Not sure.
What do you mean? You got...
But we're tight like that, I promise.
I know. You named her. You know everybody. What can I say?
As my good friend Mick Foley says, I don't like to name drop, but I did have to mention that.
I understand. I understand, Doc. It's, you know, it's your sworn duty as a close personal friend.
Absolutely.
Less humorous is the fact that Reggie Lasowski, the Crusher, passed away yesterday at age 79.
Yes.
Yeah, here was a guy, I mean, he was really big in the AWA, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Milwaukee, Denver, that territory, then he and the Bruiser, of course, in Chicago, and wow. Yeah, what a legitimate legend. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
I'll tell you what, and this is serious stuff, my parents know nothing about wrestling, they hate wrestling, but they know three wrestlers, Hulk Hogan, Bruiser, and Crusher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, a lot of people from our generation that were fans, you know, depending, or, you know, those names were well-known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really were. Yeah, and I didn't know Reggie well. I had met him a couple times, but I know we've been having some health problems of late. Had been in and out of the hospital. So, our sympathies go out to the family. So we've lost us another, like, 79 years old.
Yes.
But, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we neglected Abe Coleman, the oldest living ex-professional wrestler, have celebrated his 100th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it?
That's a good amount these days.
Yeah, that's a fur piece, as they say in the country. And shout out to Jim Ross, who all surgery went well. You know, we've got another week or so of recovery, I guess. And you know, and there's wow. Nobody knows what's going on with this situation. You know, I think it's really up in the air. They're flying by the seat of their pants. Will he come back? Won't he? Do they? You know, internally, we're hearing, everybody's here. I mean, it's the only topic that's red hot at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, is that internally they do want to remove him. Sadly enough, they don't have anybody to replace him in terms of, and again, cosmetics in professional sports, really doesn't come into play. So that doesn't hold a lot of water. Anyway, either here or there. You know, I've always said if need be in the business, if the devil can work and the pay is good, then you work with the devil. You don't have to go to bed with him or eat at his dinner table or hold his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no way in this business, which is so creative and subjective, that everybody doesn't make an enemy here or there. But, you know, this is not about that. It's about what this guy brings to the table. You know, and whether Coach was trying his hardest to be bad on Monday or wasn't, and no reflection on Coach, there is nobody that could fill that seat at this point in time.
No, there's not, and it should be the easiest decision in the world, and it's not for them.
You know, but I and for this, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if you know what Jim's feelings are on it. They'll never be made public, but I do believe that if he comes back, and when it is time, whether it's being forced to step down again or whether it's because he wants to step down, I think there should be some kind of classy send-off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't say that about everybody that's worked for every company, but with Jim Ross, what he's contributed to the business and to that company in more terms, you know, in behind the scenes, in dealing with talent and everything. I know it was very comfortable for me to work with Jim in developmental and, you know, in talent relations, and I can appreciate what he brought, you know, what he brought to the table. But anyway, I'm glad he's healthy, and whatever happens. That's a bigger soap opera than most anything else going on in the industry right now.
Absolutely true. We've got a great show coming up for you guys tonight. We've got Al Snow, all the way from OVW.
All the way from OVW?
Yes, he is going to be joining the show and talking some OVW, WWE, his career, all that good stuff. It's the return of Al Snow tonight here on Wrestling Weekly. Also,
the return of Head.
Yes. Head. Maybe Head will show up, too, and give a couple words. You never know.
Who knows?
Or at least tell Al what to say.
Right.
Also, junior heavyweight great Danny Hodge is going to be on the show.
Yeah, without a doubt, Head and Shoulders, the greatest junior heavyweight ever.
Absolutely. First
and
man.
Just a great guy. If you looked up the phrase in a dictionary, if it was written down, walks softly and carries a big stick, you'd see Danny's picture next to that. I mean, really, just a class, very, very low-key gentleman. But it was lethal. It's a .357 Magnum.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the listeners, might not know Danny Hodge, might have heard him by name, but you're going to learn a lot about Danny Hodge tonight. And we're going to also talk about his WWE appearance last spring and lots of other good stuff of a Hodgemania.
Yeah, no doubt the greatest junior heavyweight world, junior heavyweight champion of all time. Plus, his amateur background, my God, is just phenomenal. Of course, we'll save that and talk to everybody about that when we have Danny on. Who's Hot Topic?
Hot Topic coming up next is Bruce Mitchell.
Oh.
Yes, from the PW Torch. And he's going to be coming on, giving us the Hot Topic of the Week. We're going to be discussing that in just a couple of minutes.
And, of course, the pay-per-view tonight.
Pay-per-view tonight is Bound for Glory.
Who will replace Kevin Nash? And we're just saying that in a speculative form because we're not I don't see Nash. If he was in the hospital this morning, I just don't see it. But then again, I don't know.
The last I heard was that he was out of the hospital and back at his hotel room. But, you know, will he show up tonight is the big question.
There you go.
And I forgot to mention this last week. We played the game a couple of weeks ago of the pay-per-view predictions.
Uh-huh.
I got them all right.
You're just a champ. What can I say?
I got them all right. You got them all right, too, except for the one that you didn't give a prediction on the first match.
Which one was that?
It wasn't the women. I can't remember exactly which one it was.
You're the female expert anyway.
Kind
of fill in there and ride along or whatever you think. But anyway.
But, we got them straight across the board, so that was pretty good. We're going to see if we can top that tonight and get them all again.
All right, yeah, we'll be talking about the pay-per-view. All right, yeah, and some great guests. And what else? I want to mention... there's been a lot of advertising about the tribute to Starrcade. It's going to be in Spartanburg, South Carolina on the 19th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that same weekend, EPWT is running a three-day camp in Spindale, North Carolina, Spindale House, which is where we even wrestled 35, 40 years ago. And we still draw good crowds here. But anyway, if you want to make a great weekend out of your independent wrestler or just a fan, there's going to be a show up there. The camp runs 18th, 19th, and 20th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And on the first day of the camp, if you're going to train with us, it's going to be along with myself and Dr. Tom. Harley's going to be in for one day.
All right.
And Tully Blanchard. So, and we're going to have two rings going, so all four of us will be there. And then on Saturday, Tully and Doc and Harley are down to Spartanburg for the tribute to Starrcade.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy Smothers is going to join me as my co-trainer. And Tracy, of course, helped out with the ECW guys when that company was still up and running. He's great with young talent, so he'll be there in the Saturday with me, and then on Sunday, Tully and Dr. Tom would be back. So, and the show on the show that particular Friday. Friday night, Bobby Eaton, Dennis Condrey, Rick Steiner, Tony Atlas, Ivan Koloff, Boogie Jimmy Valiant, The Barbarian, The Strode, Don Bass, Tracy Smothers, George South Sr., and I'm not sure who else, maybe Brad Armstrong, I think. But anyway, good weekend, and then catch Spartanburg on Saturday night for the big show. These guys, plus Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, and nameless others.
All right.
Yeah, but that's on this thing, you could email ngwmatt@yahoo.com for more information on the camp, the show, the whole nine yards. But yeah, that's always a great turnout. We're going to have a great time, and should be a great opportunity to learn for some young independents.
The Mid-Atlantic area gets all these great weekends all the time.
Well,
all these great wrestling weekends.
You're going to have to pack up the car and make the trip one of these days.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
I just got an email that Dick Bourne from Mid-Atlantic Gateway is coming up.
All right.
Yeah, he's coming up for the show.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing who stops through there. Steven DeAngelis, who used to be the ECW ring announcer when we were there last January, was in. Mike Lutehan came up and surprised me. I hadn't seen Mike a long time, who's the syndicated journalist, newspaper man from Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, it's a great time. And like I say, the old Spindale House is where we used to, hell, we wrestled there and went back in the 70s. And they'll draw anywhere from 500 to 700 in there on Friday night, and I would say Spartanburg will do somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 1,500.
Nice.
Yeah.
Real good for an independent show.
Yay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got Bruce Mitchell from PW Torch. He's going to give us the hot topic of the week right here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Bruce? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
We're back here at Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young, Les Thatcher with you. It's time for the hot topic of the week. This week we've got from the PW Torch, Bruce Mitchell. Bruce, thanks for joining us once again on Wrestling Weekly.
Well, I really enjoy doing the show, so yeah, it's good to be back with you and Fred. I mean, Les.
And it's kind of like this is a live remote from the TNA party at your house tonight, right?
Yeah, you could call it that. You sure could from my little hovel. Yeah, people come over and watch pay-per-views. So we got some early people watching the Giants versus. We got some people over here watching the Giants versus Denver Broncos, and I know that Doc already asked, but no, Johnny Fairplay is not here tonight.
That's right. You said he's at the Playboy Mansion instead of the Mitchell Mansion.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a different clientele than I do over here, unfortunately. Looking at these two guys.
All right.
So what's the hot topic this week, Bruce?
I think it is the TNA pay-per-view. I mean, I think Bound for Glory is their first, their first chance to really show something and to see whether they can draw from the new audience that they've got on Spike TV.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty important to see. I think the story, even beyond them having a good show, and I really expect they'll have a good show, is that whether their three shows so far have attracted people to want to buy the pay-per-view. They've got an audience that's watching it, but getting that audience fired up to watch pay-per-view is another thing. So I think this buy rate is going to be really important. I think it's one of the more crucial nights of the year for this business.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. Have you heard anything new about Kevin Nash? Kevin might not show up for the main event?
Well, I know that he was at the hospital, but he called 911 during FanFest that he had some. And from what I understand, it's some cardiac issues. I don't know how serious they are, but they were making plans all day for what to do about it. I know I had heard one report that they might do a 10-man Royal Rumble type thing to make up for it. I do know they want to have something because this is such a big pay-per-view that it's at least equal to it or better. So I could see them changing the title tonight. Just to make up for the fact that one of the guys in the main event's not there. They have some choices, and they have some choices. They could really do some things to help themselves. They could also keep things about the same, or they could do something to help hurt themselves. But it kind of adds a little air of intrigue to it. I haven't heard that he's back or that he's going to be able to work the show.
Mm.
And of course, if you remember your WCW days, this happened before one time when he was scheduled to wrestle Big Show, and there was a lot of speculation and a lot of doubt about why, you know, why Kevin Nash missed that show, and to this day there still is. So, I mean, he doesn't have the best track record, so there's some suspicion there. It's a tough thing to say that someone, when they're in the hospital, that they're not sick, but, you know, with his track record, you have to be a little bit suspicious. You have to worry a little bit about that.
Let me ask you, Bruce, did you watch the show last night?
Yes, I did.
Okay, do you still see it as a bit frenzied, I guess, is the word?
It's too fast. I think since the last time we talked, I think the problem's gotten worse. It's just too fast. I mean, there's things they could have set up that they haven't set up, and they're continuing to go too fast. I think you've got a creative team where you've got one person who's seen things get set up, you know, set up and anticipation built, and then, you know, then you make your money with building up fans' anticipation so they really are salivating for the match. Then you give them the match, not just bang, 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 bang. And, you know, I think if you look at, you know, if you look at Memphis was, when Jeff Jarrett was working, you know, his father's promotion regularly, it was shoot the angle on Saturday, do the show on, you know, do the match on Monday.
Right.
And, you know, but I would point to this year, the most successful thing that's happened in wrestling this year was done by setting up the anticipation for it. That was Batista and Triple H. And that did very well at WrestleMania. Nothing's done that well since then, but that was really, you know, foreshadowing and setting up a story and getting people to, you know, they know something's going to happen, but they don't know when it's going to happen.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just telling a story the right way.
I think they're trying to. Now, I thought the funeral thing was by accident or by plan, it was good.
Yeah, I did too.
It was entertaining. It hit the little subtle things behind the scene without beating you over the head and making people scratch their heads. But now, to me, I thought this thing last night, it was just too much.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. It didn't leave you with, it left you with, huh? I think they have this idea that that they've got to cram 2 hours worth of show into 1 hour, and that's really tough to do, and that everybody has to have an angle, and everybody has to be pushed at the same time, and that muddies the waters an awful lot.
Yeah, you know, I told Doc, I said, they have enough time to get in 30 topes and 40 planches and a couple of shooting star presses. Why can't they get a couple of promos in and establish some personalities? And I also thought, like in the tag team thing, I think Harris and Storm are good enough, and the other two guys, there was a belt used, a boot used, and the coup de grace, the damn breakaway bottle, which I thought, okay, now you built me up good to this point, and now you've gone off the deep end and lost the illusion.
Right, yeah, you do, and that breakaway bottle should be used in very special circumstances, yeah. Why waste it on that? Why do it there? You've got enough with the title change. You don't have
sure.
to. You know, you don't have to do that. I think America's Most Wanted cries out for a manager, and in fact, I think it cries out for a specific manager who I think would really do well down there right now, and that's Jim Cornette.
Oh yeah,
my God, yes. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. You know, and I think too. I think if they could have won it with some heelish thing, but still almost a clean finish. And that was the other thing too last night. On top of the belt being used, and the boot, and the breakaway bottle, the hockey stick, there was a run in, or multiple run ins in every match almost.
Yeah, and that's been a problem with them before, and that's a problem now too. I mean, I hope tonight we don't see that. We didn't see that much this summer, but you know, they were holding back on things. But now, yeah, I think they've got that committee that really thinks that this is how you do things, and that, you know, that everything features something, because that's what they sort of grew up on but it was, you know, less than 10 years ago, which was,
right,
you know, Nitro and Raw, and that's not necessarily what these guys need to be doing. They need to trust that they need to trust they've got an audience that's interested in what they're doing, and that they can have walls and they can build towards something, because I think they can. I don't think their audience is going to abandon them.
No, I agree with you. Another thing that drives, it's a distraction to me, is the damn canned crowd noise is so loud and distracting that I have to work to hear what Tanae's saying. And like I was telling Doc, I said, and I like Mike. I think he's good, but he's only good if I can hear him.
Yeah, and that's a production issue, I think. And I do think there's that idea that you've got to have 60 minutes of frenzy or people are going to switch, and, you know, there's no show on television that's 60 minutes of frenzy. It might be, you know, everything builds to a climax. Everything has their, you know, anything tells a story isn't going to be all climax. So.
No, you know, it's just like working, in essence, working a 60-minute match. You've got to hit those peaks, and then you've got to have those valleys where you, you know, kind of taper off, you know, cruise for a moment, then hit it again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I kind of think that TNA knows the direction that they're going right now in shoving all these things into 1 hour, and it's, you know, it's part of the name. Somebody in the chat room said it's called Total Nonstop Action for a reason. Do you think this is by design?
Well, I think it's some competing visions are going on. And I think some of this is compromise, and some of it is just what, you know, you go with what you've seen before, and I don't think these guys have seen everything. And I know one thing is, I think they're so busy doing their jobs that they maybe didn't see Batista and Triple H. I mean, you can say the old, well, they don't know how to do it the old school way.
Right.
But it's not old school way. It's just it's just the way that makes better sense and does a better job of the audience. And, you know, I think there is that idea that wrestling is just frenzy now, and that were, you know, and there's lessons in the past for that too. That wears out, that wears your audience out very, very fast. I mean, hot shotting drives it out. But I mean, I think that it's just really hard to tell who some of the personalities are, and that's their problem. They need to be. I was told they were going to slowly build some personalities when they started off, so they knew about it. But it just hasn't. That's not what I'm seeing on my television.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think just by virtue of the being on Fox and picking up the additional viewers, that I don't know what the percentage will be, but if it's 1% or 10, but I think they'll pick up a percentage on the pay-per-views tonight. But I also think that at least from where I'm sitting and from what I'm reading of reviews and you know, the quotes from what people are hearing from Spike executives and so forth, is that they're comfortable with this thing now, and so the growth, I mean, they've got the people's attention. Now they've got to start that, again, the slower build, because, and like you're saying, it's not old school. It's like the plot of a good drama movie. I mean, the basics are still the basics.
Yeah, I very much think that. You don't see, you know, you wrestling storytelling, and you don't see storytelling like this, you know, this kind of incoherent bang, 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 except for in pro wrestling, and that's, you know, you can have a movie that's total nonstop action. I mean, that has Bruce Willis and Die Hard, but it still has its moments where it's setting up the climactic stuff, Batman Begins or something. I mean, like, it still has those moments when you got to turn the guy into Batman before he starts fighting everybody. And
exactly.
You know, and that's part of it too. I mean, that part. Yeah. They've got this special coming up, and I mean, even with the thing with I think that the Dudleys have really done well. You know, they came in shape. They didn't come in like they were doing, you know, they were waiting around for Carl to go back to WWE. They came in shape with, you know, on a mission. But they got, instead of being introduced and killed the first night in. And I believe they're going to end up fighting, you know, instead of building up anticipation for the rematch, they're going to end up having the rematch on the special they've got coming up. You know, that's a problem too.
Yeah.
So.
Real quick, before we let you go to your party with the catered food and the.
Oh man, are you like a true pro wrestler exaggerating?
I know it's mansions around Greensboro. Though,
yeah,
right?
We, our big thing is we get an ice cream from the Sonic, and if you think I'm lying, I'm not. That's it. We get the Oreo Crush, and everybody has an Oreo Crush. Course, guys I'm sitting with right now, I haven't got my whole full crew here, but the guys I'm sitting right now, they can eat.
All kidding aside, do you think the junior division will be the salvation of SmackDown?
If you really like lowbrow humor, then I think that you'll get more lowbrow humor. How's that? How's that for an answer?
Okay, and which is probably, we both probably think the same, that there's no need for more lowbrow humor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've got that covered already. Yeah.
I think so.
Bruce, I want to thank you for being on Hot Topic this week, and we'll see you again in a few weeks.
Hey, can we get on, can Doc and I get on the A-list the next time we're down around Greensboro?
Yeah.
It's a pay-per-view.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had famous wrestling announcers over here, and I've also had Chris Cruz here.
I'm assuming he must be there now.
No, he's not, but just, yeah.
All right, well, Doc, be sure that makes all the sheets and everything.
Okay, will do. PWTorch.com, guys, is where you can check it out.
All right.
Bruce, have a good one, buddy.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bruce Mitchell from The Torch here on Wrestling Weekly. Having a party is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any pay-per-view parties anymore like that.
You know, when I had this, when I was training guys, a lot of the guys used to come over to the house, and we'd sit around and you know, watch the pay-per-views.
Yeah, we don't.
And then it got to be where there was more people than there was house.
Yeah.
that was always something we always thought about. We'll get, you know, a big screen and the cable at the gym. But anyway, yeah, the first pay-per-view I ever saw was invited to a buddy of mine who I lifted with, his house for a party.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's at the prices now, it's almost a must for a lot of people, right?
Absolutely. When I was in college, all of us DJs, if you will, always got together and had pay-per-view parties. This was during the Monday Night Wars phase.
Right.
So we had them all. We had all the WCW, all the WWEs. We had our big arguments over which was better. It was a good time, and hopefully times like that are up ahead.
Well, I don't know if we'll ever get that fever and you know, frenzied again, but I don't, you know, again, I hope that TNA prospers, you know. It's just, again, you know, I think this pay-per-view will do better. It's just long haul. I don't want to see them burn all the good stuff out.
Yeah, well, they are going to stretch it out. It's going to be 3.5 hours, so, you know, hopefully we'll see some.
No, I wasn't talking about in favor of you. I'm talking about over the long haul.
Oh, over the long haul, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of places don't stretch it out 3.5 hours either.
No. Absolutely not. All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, junior heavyweight sensation, the legend himself, Danny Hodge, going to be on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around. You don't want to miss it. Doc Young, Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, things aren't going well today.
Yeah, we don't have Danny Hodge. My friend Danny had people in. We just talked to his wife, and they said hunt. And that tough old son of a gun grabbed his gun and headed out the door. And I told his wife to tell him that we were hurt because rather than talk to us, he'd go out and slaughter some poor innocent little deer.
Yes, that puts us very low on the totem pole.
But just goes to show what a mean guy he really is. Seriously, we'll get him back on. And, the craziest thing is Danny is such a storied, person in the industry. And for whatever reason, doesn't get a lot of acknowledgement. You know, on the history boards,
yeah,
or anything. But I mean, legitimately, this is the only athlete that has ever won a medal in the Olympics in wrestling, and he was also his national champion in his weight class, Golden Gloves.
Yeah.
So yes,
you have to have both.
And the first wrestler, amateur, professional, whatever, that's ever was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And, I mean, we'll save it until we have him on. But, I mean, just to talk about, I told Doc that for you listeners, when the story of him telling about his first encounter with amateur wrestling in high school is worth the price of admission in itself. And we'll have him tell that when we get him on after he's killed the poor deer and fed everybody. So anyway, Doc, we're batting 1,000 on predictions?
Yes, we are.
Wow, I don't know. That's kind of scary in a way.
This is going to be a tough one. It's going to be tough to keep it up because right now we're going to be talking about Bound for Glory tonight. It is coming up in just a little bit more than an hour. And there's a whole lot of matches on the show.
Yeah.
It's a 3.5-hour show. And, well, let's just get down to it.
Okay, let's do it.
The Diamonds in the Rough, Simon Diamond, Primetime Elif Skipper, and David Young going up against Apollo, Sonny Siaki, and Shark Boy.
Siaki.
I always get that wrong.
Well,
Sonny,
you know
Siaki
what? I've got two of my kids, one on each side. Elix on one side and Sharky on the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hard to say. Probably since it's a match that doesn't, you know, isn't significant in terms of storyline or anything, I'd say probably babyface is over to get the thing going. Shark Boy's team probably.
Really? I'm gonna go with the Diamonds in the Rough.
Okay.
And we'll see next week what comes out of that. Three Live Crew is taking on Team Canada tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one to say, too, because from all indications, they're playing the storyline of, you know, some dissension in team or in Three Live Crew, which I guess to those who have been following it ever since it started, it's been way too long and going on.
Absolutely.
But I guess they've drug it out simply to fit the new television audience in on Spike.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's a tough one to pick. Maybe Team Canada wins it with some malfunction on the other team, and which widens the dissension gap. What do you think? Does that sound storyline-ish enough?
That sounds good.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Three Live Crew on this one.
Okay.
I think that Billy Gunn's going to actually come out and help them unwittingly win the match.
Okay.
That's
cool.
Going to be my prediction.
Well, you know, now last night he and Konnan were going to go at it.
Yes, they were. And he pushed I keep wanting to call him Kay Quick. He pushed around Ron Killings a little bit. But yeah, I always want to call him Kay Quick. I bet he'd slap me for that. Lance Hoyt taking on the Alpha Male, Monty Brown. Hoytomania versus Monty Mania.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Brown. I don't even have to stop. You know, I just got my first look at Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot of polish.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Huh?
He's a really big guy.
Yeah. And what's your point?
I'm just observing.
So was Elgante Gigante. No.
Okay, got
it. I wasn't. That's, you know, everybody. I mean, nobody came out of the womb, you know, being Ric Flair wasn't. Ric Flair, the greatest worker in the business when he first started.
Right.
You know, he evolved to that. So the point is, I don't know what his potential is, but honestly, last night was the first chance I really got a chance to watch him. You know, and he just needs some polish. He's not a veteran. He's not seasoned.
True. And Monty Brown has been so dominating lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Monty, I see. Yeah. Like I said, I see Monty and Joe some point in within a year. Samoa Joe and Monty. I see that as a very very strong storyline.
Yeah, that will be a good one. Samoa Joe, of course, one of my favorites from TNA. Next, it's an X Division 4-way. You like these?
Oh, I love these. Yes.
Get this: the original playa from the Himalaya. Sanjay Dutt.
The original what?
The original playa from the Himalaya.
Himalaya. Okay.
Gotcha. Sanjay Dutt.
All right.
Versus Austin Aries, taking on the next Alex Shelley and Roderick Strong.
Wow.
It's
going to
be a car wreck.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know. That's, let's say Aries, just for the sake of argument.
Okay. I'm also tempted to go with Austin Aries on this one, so we're going to have to see. This is going to be a good one, international showdown between Samoa Joe and Jushin Thunder Liger.
Well, you know, that depends on the politics. If the Japanese company wants to show this back home, then I would say it's not, you know, I don't see Liger doing the clean job. I don't know. I don't know. That could, they could, it could be a throw out, double D, you know, double count out. Or Joe could slip him over. But I don't see that either. You know, I don't know. I think Joe over, if possible, or maybe a no contest of some sort. When I say of some sort, double count out, the double pin, double, you know, something where they, you know, ends up kissing your sister type of thing.
Right.
You know, but the way they're building Joe and the way he's getting over, I don't see, you know, him doing the job for Kobashi in Ring of Honor is one thing, because he's so established in that company, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with the, again, looking at this as a new viewer who's only seen 3 weeks of TNA television, this is not the time for him to be, you know, looking at the lights for somebody. So
right.
I see either Joe or probably at best he gets DQ'd or something. I don't, you know, if Liger wins it.
I'm gonna go with Small Joe on that one also, and you know, just keep my fingers crossed with that one.
Okay.
Monsters Ball 2.
Yeah.
Abyss.
Okay.
With Abyss with James Mitchell versus Jeff Hardy versus Rhino versus Sabu, the genocidal, homicidal, suicidal maniac.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just you know, I don't know. I just I see that whole crew, believe it or not, Abyss is being the strongest player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that'll you know equate in him getting his hand raised or not, I don't know.
He's definitely going to be the guy beating this match, and I'm going to have to go with Abyss just because he's one of my favorites also.
When are we going to have him on the show, by the way?
Abyss?
Yeah.
I've spoken to Abyss, and as we know, Abyss don't talk. So it wasn't easy. But
you have to write in.
But I don't see Abyss doing the show too much.
But gotcha.
He did get us in touch with James Mitchell.
I got you.
And said, let James do it.
All right, well, okay, where will I see Abyss? I hadn't even thought about it. But there's nothing wrong with that. I you know, that's cool. If that's what he wants, that's cool.
It's more of a company thing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I understand.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Abyss on this one, and these guys are gonna have to be the underdogs in this one, because it is a Monsters Ball, and I think the Monster should win it.
Yeah.
The Ultimate X returns. It's gonna be Matt Bentley versus Chris Sabin versus Petey Williams, and the winner becomes the number one contender to the X Division title.
I don't know. I don't see it being Bentley, Sabin or Petey, and I don't know. It's kind of a coin toss there. Let's just say as a viewer of 3 weeks, I don't see a particular direction.
For any of them, yeah.
No. I see a lot of confusing. What I mean by that is, you know, run-ins and this guy punching this guy and this guy, you know, Petey trying to kiss Tracy. And so forth and so on. But still, that doesn't draw any particular lines for me. I don't know. I don't know. I say Sabin or Williams, and then it depends on how they maybe Petey, because they've been pushing Bobby Roode, who by the way worked a week-long camp here in town with Doc and I, and he's good people. Val Venus started him.
Ah.
In the biz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice kid, Bobby. But they seem to be featuring Petey more as a single, so maybe that's the direction they're going.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm going to go with Petey Williams on this one. In the NWA World Tag Team Title Match, America's Most Wanted taking on the Naturals, and America's Most Wanted just won the championship, as we know. And they'll be defending that title against the Naturals.
I see them keeping it, and I think that's a good thing. I honestly think these guys will, you know, and I see them in the Deadlies, the 3D or whatever.
Team 3D.
Yeah, Team 3D is, you know, a strong program if handled right.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, if you're just watching it on TNA, America's Most Wanted had the championship for a long time. Before the Naturals got their hands on it.
Well, but I mean, again, if you're just a 3-weeker, apparently for some reason, the week that those two teams were on, that was the highest drawing segment in the show in the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I had said, you know, everybody's banking everything on X Division, but I wouldn't do that simply because these two tag teams are pretty dominant, and there are, and that's one of the things that's been very weak in WWE in both brands is dominant tag teams. There are several that could have been, but just was never pushed in that direction.
Right.
And so if you're, you know, never mind the six-sided ring or the X Factor or anything else, tag team is something people recognize if they're old wrestling fans. They understand it, and it's been kept away from them, you know, for any serious part of the time. So, I think it's going to be strong with these guys. I really do. And with them just winning a title, I see them hanging on to it. I see them getting their hand raised unless by chance they're DQ'd.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. America's Most Wanted keeps the championship at least for a while, keeps the feud going.
And what we were talking about earlier is I would have liked to have seen those guys win it without all the outs, without Jarrett's help, without Gail Kim's help, although Gail's much nicer to look at than Jeff. But anyway.
Right. It did keep the Naturals from looking weak.
Well, it's not. Never mind keep the Naturals. It doesn't make the Naturals look weak. It's like it took half the heel locker room to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that doesn't but Storm and Harris, I think, are a stronger team than that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I wouldn't disagree with Bruce about them having a manager. Cornette would do a hell of a job for those guys.
But, oh, yeah.
That's not apt to happen. So, but I do see, you know, they can carry it a little stronger than that. I just, in building baby faces, I think it's obviously going to be the Dudleys in the long haul.
Yeah.
The Deadlies, excuse me.
The Deadlies, yes.
Yeah.
They haven't even started calling them the Deadlies yet, but I'm sure they're getting to it.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to sue me for slipping, but, you know, it's like if you change your name from Doc to Hector, it'll be a while before I catch on. So.
Right. The X Division Championship Iron Man match. It's the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels.
Well, you know, I like heels as champions and the baby faces chasing, which would dictate to me that Daniels needs to put the strap back around his waist. But I don't see that happening because I think they're looking to feed the public this fresh, young, white-bred Christian boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a nice southern accent, and you know that, and I'm saying this of AJ, this Opie, you know, he looks like Opie, but that's no. Well, you know, hey, Rory Fox is the same thing. You know, it's you're born with that. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing wrong with that. There, you know, to sell the Emmys. But that's what I'm saying. I think they're wanting him to carry the cut, so they're going to leave that particular belt on him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Although, my call would be for Daniels to come up with it in some way, shape, or form. And then, of course, Jarrett and who? Jarrett Nash, Jarrett in a 10-man Survivor Series or Royal Rumble type of thing. I don't know.
Who knows? They got a slip Tito Ortiz in there somewhere. He's still getting paid. You know, special guest referee.
Yeah, see, I think that was, I won't say mishandled, I just say it was skimmed over. We were all supposed to be, just know who Tito Ortiz was, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We, you know, maybe they should have shown some film clips of him, and I don't think he should have put, choked out Nash and just cast Jarrett to the winds and, you know, threatened to kill them both if they, you know, there's a rule infraction. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's obviously got to be the authority. It's like, you know, years ago, he used to bring in Joe Louis, you know, Jersey Joe Walcott, you know, the Rocky Marciano, the fighters, you know, the ex-world champions. But he can't be stronger than these guys because he's not wrestling, right?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that, which doesn't say he doesn't want to be, but somebody needs to give him some direction, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say, you know, for argument's sake, Kevin Nash jumps out of his bed and says, okay, let's go. Let's do this. I'm going to go with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, well, yeah, because Nash is not wanting to work full schedule. Nash doesn't, which would necessitate him being on TV every show.
Right.
You know, and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I just think I don't know what I think. I think the guitar thing is tired, and that's not picking on Jeff. I don't like crowbars either, you know, or Edge's briefcase for all doing. I mean, it's just, why?
I don't know. Isn't it sort of like the tennis racket of Cornette?
Well, the Cornette was a manager.
Yeah.
Right? And he never used a tennis racket where it broke and left pieces all over the ring. It was always used when he got caught. He got, you know, but I mean, seeing that's the other thing, too. You can't suspend. It's so tough to suspend your disbelief when you see all that wood laying all the way. Or it's just like that breakaway bottle. There was no glass, and you saw the way it you know, I want to say shattered, but disintegrated is more of the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's just sugar.
Yeah.
Those bottles, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but the point was they were doing so well, and that took it past suspend my disbelief.
Really?
Right? Because my common sense knows what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one time somebody in WCW had this idea of using a fake 2x4 in a dent. Right? And I forget who it was came running out, and all I could think, you know, looking at it from a wrestler's point of view or a promoter or a booker is grab it and run like hell with it before somebody sees it, right? No, you know, that's, again, I just think Jeff has got enough talent. I would get the belt off him some way, but Nash wouldn't be the guy.
Right.
And that's not, you know, any way disrespectful to Kevin. I don't think he wants that hassle either.
Yeah.
You know.
Hopefully, you know, Raven will show up. It makes a lot of sense to. I know they probably wanted to save it, but I think it makes a lot of sense for Raven to show up and at least, at least make a run at the title tonight. In the X Division match, I am going to go with AJ Styles also. I didn't give a prediction on that one, but I'm also going to go with AJ Styles.
I think that's what they're, you know, they're looking at is to keeping the, you know, building the company around him. Long term, anyway. So,
yep. So that's going to take care of it. It's TNA pay per view coming up in just about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good one. Bruce Mitchell's watching it. You should too.
And if you're in Greensboro, you know where Bruce lives. Just go.
You might see.
I shouldn't say that.
You might see Johnny Fairplay hanging around somewhere. You never know.
No, he's at the Playboy Mansion. I'm envious.
Oh, God. I love having Bruce on the show. He cracks me up.
Yeah, Bruce is funny.
Well, we got still to come on the show, guys. Hang in there, because we got Al Snow coming in. And it's a funny story about Al Snow. I'm pretty bad with times, Les.
Yeah.
I keep getting my Eastern and my Central mixed up. You guys are on Eastern.
Yes, very good.
I'm on Central. I try to do everything Eastern time-ish.
Right.
When it relates to the show. So I had to call Al Snow, and I said, Al, we're going to do the interview tonight. We're going to do the interview at 6:30 Eastern. He says, 6:30? Okay. He writes it down.
Right.
No. We're going to do it at 7:30, Al. 7:30, okay. No, Al, no. We're going to do it at 6:30 Eastern, I promise. Okay, 6:30. He's writing it down. I hang up the phone. Wait a minute. Al Snow is a featured guest tonight. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Right.
Al.
7:30.
7:30,
now.
I yes. promise.
See, that's like I'm doing a taped deal with Brian Alvarez Tuesday, 12:30 their time, Seattle time, but 3:30 our time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And now I forgive Jerry Lawler for doing that so much. For messing up the times, because he has a problem with that too. So I forgive him for that, and Al Snow hopefully will forgive me for bugging him all day with different times.
Yeah, I was on a drive time show the other night in Champaign, Illinois.
Ah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we you know the lady that's the go between from the publishing company. Was a bit confused at first, and I said, okay, I know what you're, okay, you know, but I figured it out, because I guess she never thought about it, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but.
It's probably not the first time I've done this to Al, though.
Yeah, probably not.
He'll probably say something about it tonight, so I want to get it all out there before he humiliates me on the air.
All right, yeah. And Al can do that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get Al on right now.
All right, let's do it.
See if we can... 15 minutes
early now. If he's not... Well, he shouldn't be out riding the bike tonight. It's raining. So.
Yeah, and it's pretty cold.
Right.
So hopefully he'll be ready, and we can see if we can stretch him out the full 45 minutes this time.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, it's Uncle Al Snow here on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Got our featured guest on the line. He's on the road. He is live from his cell phone. It's Al Snow. Al, thanks for being on the show.
Howdy do, guys.
Hey, Albert. You're headed back to Lima, right? From whence you came?
I am, Lester.
Huh?
Yes, I am, to drop off my beautiful daughter so she can go back to school tomorrow.
All right. Very good. Let me ask you, speaking of daughters and family, someone, I saw in the chat room the other day, someone was talking about Donna's Ride and Al Snow, and a couple people posted that they didn't know what that was. So right up front, please explain to everyone listening what Donna's Ride is.
Well, what Donna's Ride is, it's a motorcycle event that we held last year and this year to benefit the Leukemia Society, to raise money for leukemia. And last year I was lucky enough to have all the WWE roster, the Raw roster, come and be involved in the ride, and from Val Venus to Eugene to Lance Cade to Batista to Matt Hardy to Edge. They all came and signed autographs to help raise money. And what we do is we do a motorcycle ride in conjunction with Ace State, Harley Davidson of Mason, Ohio, and Quaker Steak of Lube in Fairborn, Ohio. It's a restaurant. And we just go on a long motorcycle ride and have people donate money, and we have auctions with items that people generously donate. And this year we had involved the wrestlers from OVW came up and did a show graciously, and we raised $18,000 the year before and $12,000 this year, and all the benefits of the Leukemia Society, because my sister Donna, which the ride's named after, has passed away from leukemia a couple of years ago.
No.
So we're trying, you know, I tried to use my quote-unquote celebrity to, you know, to do something to give back to the community and to honor my sister.
That's great, man. I mean, it really is. And then you're going to make this yearly fair. You'll do this again next year?
Yeah, we're going to do it next year. You know, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, which God only knows, because every time we've had it, the first year we had it, it rained like cats and dogs, and then this year we had to postpone it because it rained on the date, and then we had it on the secondary date, and it got really cold. So, but lots of people still showed up to support it. You know, I'm really happy, and I thank everybody that comes out. So.
Well, great. So then we can all look forward to you'll post. You got your own website?
No, we usually, the information is found either on Quaker Steak and Lube's website or Aces and Eights, Harley Davidson's website. And then, of course, I whore myself out as much as I can publicly to, you know, get as much publicity and interviews as I can to let the public know about it. So,
What kind of bikes do you have?
I have an Indian Chief, and I have a custom built Choppin.
Nice.
Oh, you bought you an Indian, huh?
Yeah.
All right, before they went out of business again.
Yeah, that was, you know, bought it in June of that year, and then they went out of business in August of that year. So, you know, or September. So my time is always, as always, impeccable.
Well, that's something, your kids, that'll be worth some money when you have grandchildren.
I hope so. Now they're, you know, the Indian is actually an English company at bottom back.
I have a feeling we're going to lose Al.
It'll just get iffy through here for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah, it'll just get iffy. It'll blink in and out, but I'll still be with you.
Okay.
It's that way in suburban Lima. When you get into metropolitan Lima, it gets really strong down
there. Oh, yeah, you know, what would it be for the mecca of art and technology?
and talking about whoring yourself, no. We were talking before we went on the air. You were in a, was it a figure eight school bus race up in Xenia? How that?
Yeah, we Kilcare Speedway, the local racetrack, also gets involved both years and every year with the Donna's Ride. And this year they had school bus football. Can you hear me?
School bus football.
Yeah. You take two short buses and you put them in, and you take a little box car or a minivan, and then you try to knock the car through the other guy's goalposts with the school bus.
No, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, and then then you go do the figure eight track race in a 40-foot school bus, a full-size one, mm-hmm. And if you make it through the figure eight race, then you go on to the school bus. Let me tell you something, that figure eight race track will get to pull the bottom one through the crack of the rear end.
You're making this up, right?
No, I'm not making it up.
My only experience at Kilcare back when I was a teen, we used to drag race up there.
Yeah, they still drag race.
Saturday nights or Friday nights?
The regular races are Saturday night. I'm not sure. No, I think the drag races are Saturday morning.
All right. Anyway, that sounds like fun. Although I never raced a school bus. And we were saying, too, for those who haven't read it elsewhere, Jim Duggan was practicing with one of these things that laid a school bus on its side. So.
On the first turn, my friend. Yeah,
hey,
oh, you're coming in and out.
I know, I told you. See?
Yes.
It's iffy.
It's iffy. I'm trying to get my school bus. I couldn't do it, so Jim Duggan picked one up.
Have you relocated to Louisville full-time as of yet?
No, I'm still in the process of trying to sell my house and relocate. The house hasn't moved yet, and so neither have I.
Well, listen, why don't we just keep, make me the curator, and we'll do the Al Snow Museum at the house and have guided tours and stuff.
Sweet.
That'd be fantastic. We could raise money.
Yes.
You have a display with all the different heads.
I want to really mark out here, but some of the kids that I work well, Chet the Jet started with me, and Dean Visk started with me, and now Chet's half of the OVW Tag Team Champions, and Dean Visk had this big match last Wednesday, which I was reading on all the internet sites with Bobby Lashley. So how are they doing down there for you?
Both of them are developing great. Chet now is the tag team champions with Seth Skyfire, and he's just been fantastic. And Dean Visk has been creating this great character and gimmick. It's very unique and very entertaining. I literally laugh so hard whenever I see him on vignettes and stuff that Paulie has him in backstage. I literally laugh so hard I have tears in my eyes when I'm watching out the front there.
Yeah, he's a caffeine addict or something, right?
No, it's just he screams all the time. And everything he says is where he screams.
All right.
And then he's been working on, he was one of the most over characters on TV, and he'd never wrestled a match until last week with Bobby Lashley.
Wow.
He actually stepped in the ring, and it was one of those cases where it was such a great match because Bobby Lashley went over and Dean Visk still got him.
Right. Great.
So that, that's a testament to Dean Visk's character, how well he's developed over the last couple of months.
I'd read so much about it on the internet over the past week that I called it Wednesday morning, and I said, man, you're a big celebrity on the internet. And I just wanted to wish you luck, and I'm really proud of it. And he said, well, I'm really excited. Both those kids have a great work ethic. But, here's a kid. Let me tell you a real quick story about when I first met him. He sent me a tape. And, I've told this story in front of him before. And then he called me and he said, well, Mr. Thatcher, did you look at the tape? And I said, yes, I did. And he said, well, what did you think? I said, burn it. Don't ever let anybody see it again. Well, see, somebody had taken, you don't know what Dean looks like, Doc, but he is... Well, Chris Masters with blonde hair. I don't know if he's... Has he got his hair blonde now or...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, some idiot had seen this big big guy, muscular guy, and said, okay, well, here's a bear hug, and then you get a top wrist lock, and you do this, and they take a big bump, and that's all they ever taught him.
Mm-hmm.
And he never actually learned how to work it. So he drove down from Pittsburgh to train with us one Sunday, and when he got ready to go back, he said, you know, I've learned more in the last 3 hours than I've learned in the last 3 years. And he said, when I finish nursing school, I want to move down here and train with you. And it was a year before I felt comfortable in putting him out there. But he worked hard,
yeah.
Never complained, busted his hump, and God bless him. I'm just tickled to death that he's where he's at.
And he's still the same way. You know, he is, you know, he works hard, and he'll take whatever criticism. He's just a nice guy, both and Chet, and they work their butts off. And, you know, you never hear them complain or say anything or get the boo-boo face. Call it the wrestling distance. I mean, they just go out there and they do what they can do.
That's great.
And you know, and he applies himself. Dean Fisk applies himself, and he took a very small secondary role and made his own opportunity and did what I tell all these guys doing. That is, go out there, realize it's your responsibility to get yourself over, not anybody else's. And do exactly that. No matter how much TV time you have, whether it's 30 seconds, 5 seconds, 5 minutes, take that time and get yourself over. And that's exactly what he did.
So many guys don't understand that, do they, Al? I mean, they think that it's the machine gets you. But the point is, the stage and the time, and if you don't get the job done, then it's all on you.
Right. The point is that this is about one thing and one thing only, and that's selling tickets. It's not about having a good match or entertaining the fans. It's about selling tickets, bottom line. And if you're selling tickets, then you're doing the other two things that you wanted to do in the first place. And if you're not, then you're not selling tickets. And you know, and everybody thinks that it's the office or the machine or the writers, their responsibility to get you over. And ultimately, it's your responsibility to get yourself over so that then the office or the machine or the writers can capitalize on that and take advantage of it and exploit it. They're, you know, they're investing time and money in you. Cornette explained it to be best. When you're put out there, that's a commercial. And if you can think of it in terms of that, how much does 30 seconds cost on Raw for a commercial? Even if it's only $10,000 for 30 seconds, if you've been given 5 or 6 minutes for a match, how much money have they just invested in you?
Sure.
Right.
And that, you know, and they're hoping, praying that you'll get over so that they can make that money back. So they can exploit you and they can turn you into a money machine.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just throwing you out there just to fill up TV time. You know.
Exactly. Let me ask you about Herder. I've read so many different accounts, but from what I understand, he was coming along, just not at the rate you would expect somebody was going to end up with $1 million over 4 years.
Well, of course, but let's face it. I mean, you know, let's take you, Les, or you, Doc, or not anybody, and go, hey, you know what? You've never touched a football in your life. I'll tell you what. We'll give you $1 million over 4 years. And, we'll have you play the football. We'll have you, we're gonna have you play start in the NFL. And, you know, we'll expect you to be able to be worth that $1 million in 4 years time. Now that is just, it's not reasonable. I mean, it was very tough, to expect that Peter was going to perform. Now granted, there are exceptions to the rule, but doubtful that anybody is going to be able to perform at the level that's going to be able to justify paying somebody $1 million a year. Because again, what do we go back to? This business is about selling tickets.
Sure.
And any wrestler is a product that any money that's put into them, that's invested to them, that's going to be wanted to be gotten back out at a greater return.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're basically putting a guy into a business that takes, as Les will attest to, years and years to learn, to truly sharpen and hone and really get to a point where you're polished enough to be marketable and to be in a position that you can be able to draw some kind of money. But in 4 years' time, no matter how balanced you are, it's very rare that you're going to find that individual that's going to be justifiably able to draw even $1 million. Right, Les?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right.
Let alone, you know, taking a guy that's never done it before and say, hey, you know, we're going to expect you to be on pace to justify investing this money. Because keep in mind, I mean, you're not just investing $1 million in this kid. You're investing $1 million in him, plus my salary, the developmental territory, income, you know, any medical insurance coverage nowadays, you know, his TV time, his interview time, that all costs money.
Right.
You know, that's a lot. And it's just, you're setting the extra the bar up so high that there's just no way that he can reach it. Now, granted, Peter was doing a fantastic, he's a great self-promoter. You know, once he got the ball, he was starting to develop his own gimmick. And granted, he was limited, but he was developing and was coming along, but he was definitely not going to come along at a pace that was going to justify $1 million, that's for sure.
Given normal circumstances, then, I mean...
Well, given normal circumstances, once he was put into play, he was actually developing quite well and, you know, was doing so at a good pace.
Mm-hmm.
But WWE did offer him a developmental contract, you know, a regular one, but Peter did have other opportunities, you know, with the mixed martial arts and UFC and everything, where he could exploit that at the time. So, you know, can't blame him. I mean, you know, once you start paying a guy a certain amount of money, he's going to find it hard to go backwards and take less, and he's going to want to try and exploit those opportunities that he has.
Yeah. I want to take some questions from the chat room. EL, he asks, who do you think has the most potential from the OVW roster to, you know, make it up to WWE?
Oh, God, I'd say all of them right now. They all, at some level or some form, all have potential. I mean, that's why they're all there. It's just now, if they can develop it at a pace that justifies their existence of the developmental program. And they all are. I mean, I've been thrilled with how dramatic and how great these kids have developed over the last, well, since I've been there in January. They've been just coming along terrific. I mean, it's been, everybody can loud Paul Lee, which he's an incredible creative genius. An evil genius, but a creative genius. And, but, you know, it's been a team effort between Danny Davis, who, you know, Danny Davis is an unsung hero because he's the owner of OVW. That man sits there with Paul Lee on Wednesday night until Thursday morning, until 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, editing that TV and putting it all together with Marty, the tech guy, and Paulie and Danny. And then, of course, Paulie with his writing ability, and then the talent. And then, of course, I'm sitting there trying to instruct the talent on what it is they need to learn to be able to produce what Paulie wants to produce on the TV. So all around, it's just been a really big, you know, team effort. It's been the people that benefit the most, besides the fans, is the wrestling business, you know, because these kids are better prepared when they finally do go up to WWE. So I've been thrilled with how things have been going along down there.
Good. Is there going to be another Tough Enough?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So there's not even any rumblings about it or talk at all?
No, none that I've heard of.
You know, to me, I thought the way the show was done, that was its first 3 years, was the best format.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. But I think that the last year's show was a compromise to get it on the air.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know?
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is, and it's not on you as a trainer or on Danny Davis or anybody for that matter, but we were talking about Daniel as an example, but when the company, before there were guys in the developmental system that had been there, had the time to, Angle for one.
Yeah.
Was given the time to develop, Lesnar for another one. Batista. I mean, the finished product obviously was when they went up, but still, that's the other thing now, too. That clock has been speeded up, and there's going to be some potentially good performers that just won't be kept in the company, which doesn't mean that they can't go someplace else and with more
You're
time.
Absolutely right, Les. You know, I mean, you know, if you're passionate about doing this, then, you know, sometimes it's better for you not to be in the loving embrace of WWE. You know, everybody talks about it's such a tragedy that you get cut from WWE, which I agree it is sometimes. It's hard. It's difficult. But I first know from personal experience, when I was there the first 2 years, I wanted to quit. I asked to quit because I knew that staying there was a mistake, because if I stayed there, the perception that was made of me would never change, because I would never be able to be put in a position to where I would ever be able to get myself over and create a new spot. It was just that's the way it is. Once you've made, you only have one chance to make a first impression. So I needed to go someplace else and literally recreate myself and then come back. And for these guys that are released, you know, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, it's a great opportunity. Just give them a chance to go someplace else. Literally recreate themselves and get themselves over to points where when they come back, they've got a brand new spot. You know, and a better one.
Exactly.
They'll make more money. And, you know, and the same with the developmental guys. They're bought into the developmental territory. They get slotted or stuck in a spot, and, you know, sometimes it's a blessing to get released and then go out, get your experience, and learn what it is you really need to learn, which is ultimately how to get over. Because you're not just getting over with the audience. You're getting over on the office. And you're working the office to now, they have a different perception and perspective of you, and they've now utilized you in a different manner than what they would have if you'd never left in the first place.
Yeah. I got to ask you, Al, Lawson in the chat room wants to know how you feel about Jim Ross leaving. It's the big story that's been going on lately.
Well, you know, it's a shame. But I think JR had a great run. And, you know, I know he certainly shouldn't have any regrets. I'll miss him, that's for sure. And I think the wrestling business will miss him. All good things must come to an end at some point in time. I hope that it's not quite yet ended for JR, as I think that he can continue to contribute on a level that not very many people ever can. You know, maybe we can, you know, we'll see him back here very soon. Maybe the office or whoever will realize the mistake they've made. Maybe we can, you know, have him back. Because I think it'd be a shame to lose him too soon. But, you know, he's worked very hard all his life, and I'm sure he's financially set to where maybe he can kick back, relax, and enjoy life for a while now.
Yeah. Have you checked out Coach in the play-by-play chair?
No, I actually, you know, a little bit that we've did with Heath. I mean, Coach was always very talented, and, you know, Coach is very underrated because he's, you know, he carried me and helped teach me a lot of stuff. So Coach does very well. I mean, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I think Coach did good for, I mean, he came in as an announcer, and he really made a name for himself really quickly when all these other guys seemed to just come and go.
You know, yeah, Coach is very talented.
You know, Al, I said it's not that they can't put a younger, better-looking body in that chair. It's just that there is nobody right this moment that at least I'm aware of that brings to the table what JR brings to the table.
Yeah, JR brings a sense of legitimacy. And that's tough to find, you know, without having it, you know, without having what JR has, which is has so many years of experience and seasoning. So, which that legitimacy then lends itself to the believability, which is, of course, what our job is to do, which is to help the audience suspend its disbelief so that it may be entertained and so you can sell tickets.
Yeah. If you had wanted to wrestle at One Night Stand, who would you like to have faced?
I was supposed to, and I would have loved to have wrestled Chris Candido.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, tragically, it was taken away from us way too soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me back up a minute to the announcing thing now. You know, Al is doing color in OVW now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, I've done broadcasting, and I think here's the thing. Anybody, I mean, this is like trying to replace Gordon Solie.
Right.
20 years ago. You're going to look bad. I don't give a damn who you are.
Yeah.
And first of all, second of all, I will tell you, it is not an easy job
Oh, no, you know, those two nights that I did Raw, I'll tell you right now, I don't want to do them no more. That second time, that second Monday, I was watching the clock. I'll tell you right now, it is amazingly challenging. The JR and Lawler, Coach, they all make it look easy. But you have, nobody has any idea. So you set that seat, and it's live, and everything's going on. You've got Vince, you've got Kevin Dunn, and those people in your ear, and you've literally got to mentally juggle about 52 different things at one time. It's incredible. So
the one thing that JR, I think, is so adept at, and it's not something that's noticeable to the average person, but I know he and I have both talked about Gordon Solie as our mentor, and I think we both picked it up from him, but being able to turn a miscue that you pick up on the monitor and cover it, make it sound logical.
Yeah.
You know, and help cover the boys' butts.
Yeah, he and Gordon were, and Lance Russell, too, let's not forget him. I mean, they were the all-time greats, you know. Guys, I'm sorry, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to have to hop off here, so.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm at my destination, and I'm going to have to talk to my dog.
I always say this, but when you're running through Cincinnati on your way to and from, I'm just a stone's throw, you know that, call me.
Yep.
I'll pay for the damn lunch, Al.
I've been running back and forth so much, I can meet myself coming and going.
Okay,
Al, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming on the show. We'll have to finish it up another time.
I would love to.
Okay.
Take care of yourself, my friend. I want to come down and what time do you guys train?
We go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and
what time you start in the morning? 10.
We start at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Monday we start at noon, but Tuesdays and Thursdays we start at 10 o'clock. So.
All right, good. I'd love to come down and watch.
You're more than welcome anytime you want.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye, Al.
Take care.
Talk to you.
Al Snow here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. It's too bad we had to cut that one short. But,
I was just going to say, too, he's talking about so close to Halloween. I remember we had him on when we used to run at the Armory up in Fairfield, Hamilton, just outside of Cincinnati. Of course, Al worked a couple of the Pillman shows, 98, 99 Pillman shows for us, but we used to try to have somebody in for the Halloween show at the Armory up there in Fairfield every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to judge the kids who wore costumes, get a prize, you know, for the best costume and had candy to give out and everything. So, anyway, Al 1 year came, and so before he went out, he dressed head up as Shark Boy and entered head into the costume and into the contest.
Excellent.
But nepotism didn't prevail, and head didn't win. So.
Aww.
Shark Boy. It was cool. Yeah, he put one of Shark's mask on head. And
if I was Al, I would just, you know, for the sake of my own gimmick, just carry head everywhere with me. When I was, when the gimmick was hot, I'd go walk through the airport with head and start talking to him in public.
I'll tell you what, Al is kind of like, I think Lance Storm comes from the same cloth to a certain degree, although I've been around Al's training more than Lance's, but they both have old school roots, and they're both very serious, you know, about teaching from the ground up, not from the air down,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. But like he says, you know, that you're given the opportunity, you got to jump in and make the best of that. And like we're saying, you know, Dean Visk, gosh, this goes back to 1998.
Mm-hmm.
He's been kicking around this bit and finally is getting his break.
Yeah.
See? And Chet the Jet, they were the Jablonski brothers for me. He has been around a little longer than that, or about the same amount of time, I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, they busted their hump, and Chet got a chance to go over for IWI in Puerto Rico and had a good year, over a year over there. They really liked him, and it was a great learning time for him because he got to work every week, 3, 4, 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good, and then he, you know, ended up getting assigned coming when he came back over, so... But, Al's a good young trainer, very good, and I think the kids are... plus, you know, some of the guys come through there, Dreamer, Benoit happens to be there, Jamie Noble's down there. I heard that they were going to put Jamie in some kind of
big guy, little guy, cartoonish tag team. I hope they don't do that because Jamie is just a smaller version of Benoit. He really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, he brings so much to the table to waste him like that. And again, I'm not saying don't do your comedy, but use somebody that isn't quite as talented on the mat.
Yeah, he's intense also.
Yeah. I just hope, you know, the shame of it is, I'm not against the midgets, but they've always been an attraction, you know, like Haystack Calhoun or Andre in his time, right? The girls. It wasn't something. It was in every week, and you had them on every card.
Right.
And, you know, I have nothing against them, but, I mean, they need to develop tag teams, and they've got so many good cruiserweights, and they've released some. You know, that division could stand alone again, and I just think they're missing the boat there, you know, and with the women the same, you know, I think they've got 2 hours to fill, and, you know, it's workable. It's just a shame that they don't do it because they've got a lot of good talent there that I think nurtured in the proper way would be far more beneficial to them than they are currently.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
Well, you better.
I do.
You do.
You know, we had a good show with Al Snow and Danny Hodge, of course.
Yeah, where do I get to talk to him? Where do I get to?
I can't believe him.
Go out and shoot this poor, pretty little deer. Man, that's bloodthirsty Oklahomans, man. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
What can I tell you? Ed Bradley is going to have Michael Jordan on there. Does Ed Bradley know he's not pretty?
I don't know.
I don't know either. 60 Minutes has only been on like 100 years or something, and Andy Rooney's not exactly Brad Pitt either, is he?
No.
I don't know if these guys know that they're ruining those shows.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'll quit being sarcastic.
I like it.
the 2005, the year that, I mean, my God, it doesn't overshadow everything else, but just, you know.
You know, it just seemed like last season Ugly was in, but.
I don't know.
You know, now it's out again.
It never crossed my mind that was relevant in terms of being a sportscaster.
I know.
So, you know.
Stone Cold, you better win. That's all I got to say.
I can't imagine without the help of a militia or an army of some sort, I can't imagine Coach beating Steve for some reason.
They're going to throw something in the wrench. They're going to throw a wrench in the works, is what I mean.
Well, if they're going to keep him out, they're going to have to. Otherwise, Steve's got to, you know, Coach got to look at the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hope Coach, no offense, Coach, but let's hope he look at the lights. No, I just, you know, it's like, you know, if you have a car that runs 150 miles an hour and you're going to replace the tires that are capable of that with tires that are only capable of 75 miles an hour, then I think you're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, nobody that understands. Mike Tenay might be the closest when I, you know. And, of course, he's already got a contract, and he's working somewhere. So.
Mm-hmm. The TNA pay-per-view has started, Bound for Glory. They're getting everybody gets the first half hour free.
Oh, that's right. They're doing a free show, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
On the pay-per-view. And so... I think we should cut out a couple minutes early, let everybody enjoy the pay-per-view.
Yeah, by Bale, exactly. Who we got next week? Got Dave Prey, Zach, who's starting an all-girl, was it Sparkle or something?
It's Shimmer.
Shimmer. I knew that started with a
something
Shimmer,
like
Sparkle,
that.
Whatever.
Some feminine name
right.
That starts with an S.
And then if you ever run him down, Terry Funk, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And that is the plan for next week.
All right, yes. Terry, if you're listening, we know you're not.
Terry
okay.
listens every week.
And that's
I heard.
Legitimate. Now, I don't know about all the rest of Doc's personal friends, but Terry did call me and say I've lost Doc's number, and I want to do the show. And I said, okay, I'll have him get back to you. So, anyway, Dave Prezak and Terry Funk for next week.
Yes.
All right.
Dave Prezak's going to have some good stories to tell also from his days at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Prezak's all over the place, man.
He really is.
Doing commentary in Florida, and he's, you know, ring announcing in Florida or something, and manager or whatever. And, all right.
He's everywhere.
Yes, he is. Enterprising young man.
And he is going to be on the show next week. Also, like we said, Terry Funk will probably make an appearance. We're going to be talking to him this week.
And we'll have to rebook Danny Hodge.
Yes, and Danny Hodge sometime in the near future will get Danny back on the air.
Gotcha.
All right, guys, we're going to cut out of here a couple minutes early so you guys can enjoy the free TNA pay-per-view preview. And we'll be back with you next week. Don't forget to check out what Les is up to every week, every day, actually, at lesthatcher.com. And you can also check out epwt.com. That's the Elite Pro Wrestling Training Seminars.
Exactly.
Also, for all your wrestling needs, don't forget, it's obsessedwithwrestling.com. I get paid to say that. And...
Okay.
And I do want to thank Wrestle Talk Radio for their help tonight. Before we do go, I do want to thank all of our staff. They have been, you know, really helpful. We couldn't run the site without them, basically. I want to thank Victoria Lee, our news reporter. She's our lead news reporter, and she does a great job for us every week. I want to thank Betsy Bird, our publicist, who does tirelessly works for us every week.
Tirelessly.
Yes, she does.
Yes.
And she does all of our recaps for the show. I want to thank you guys and all of our staff this week.
All right. And, Doc, we want to thank you for being Doc.
Thank you very
now,
much.
Before it gets misty-eyed and everybody starts blowing their nose, we better get out of here and let everybody check out TNA.
All
now
right.
Glory.
All right, guys. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one. Bye, Les.
Bye, Doc.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.